Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my two guests, Andrea and Cristina Hiracheta. How are you, ladies?
Good.
Doing well, thank you.
So you two are the representatives for the Holy Spirit Adoration Sisters, also known as the Pink Sisters.
Yes, we are.
They are enclosed, cloistered sisters mm-hmm. that are praying for us constantly before the Blessed Sacrament, in a nutshell. Yeah. But before we get started, can I learn a little bit about yourselves?
I'm Christina. I am the oldest sister. There's six of us total.
Wow.
Three boys and three girls. So kind of like the Brady Bunch, but not. Mm-hmm. And I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for, I'm going on my 10th year of teaching. And I taught with my sister, Sister Angela now. We've taught forever together. This will be the first year I'm teaching.
By yourself.
By myself. But it's been good. You know, teaching and working with the kids and having three brothers. My oldest brother has been really the role model and just really guiding us. And so I have two younger brothers as well. My youngest brother just graduated from high school. And so there's this big span of age difference, but we get along so well. Of course, you know, the normal sibling arguments, of course, but confession does come in handy.
Well, I'm the oldest of six as well, and I had the chance of being a leader for them, and I'm the peacemaker.
Cool,
and
yeah.
Just want everything to go well. There's four females and two males.
So wow.
Large family. Yes, yes, definitely. So then you do have a sister who is a sister.
Exactly.
Yes. And share a little bit about her as well.
My sister Angela, she is the middle sister. She basically, when she's been discerning for a very long time, and, you know, just through teaching, and she saw that, you know, these kids needed so much, you know, and it wasn't just, you know, our community that needed so much help. It was like, you know, everybody that needed so much help. And so about 2 years ago, she actually went to Missouri, and she spent about 2 weeks there. So we left her there, and she spent 2 weeks there. And then she came out. And basically what happened is she spent the next 2 years praying and discerning. So basically it's like she went, you know, allowed God to plant a seed. And she spent, you know, the next 2 years still teaching, still, you know, going on, but always asking God in prayer, you know, is this where you're calling me? Because, you know, we grew up in the same town, we graduated from the same town, and we were now teaching in the same town. And so it would have been a big move, you know, a huge move. And she basically felt God calling her to help not only these kids and these teachers and the administrators, but the whole world. And so she was like, I can help so much more people. I feel like God's calling me to help the whole world. And from talking to her now, she is just so, she said she feels like a fish in water now. And she was very comfortable teaching, but now to take this leap of faith and to, you know, really, you do leave everything to follow Christ. But she basically said God has paid her like 100 times over, because she is doing something that she loves and she feels God there. And she basically is just, you know, on cloud nine, you know, and
well,
she
I
just
can tell,
loves
definitely.
It.
Yes. And you're also her sister as well. Tell
yes.
me a little bit about yourself.
I'm the younger sister. I'm also a teacher. I'll be entering my sixth year of teaching. I teach seventh grade math, and watching them growing up, you know, it's really been inspiring to see, you know, my sister and her, the Pink Sisters. And so as we have that distance, we're still staying involved and we're still becoming closer still, you know, through a different way, through prayer and through our conversations and stuff. So we just want to help spread the word about the Pink Sisters and let everyone know about them.
So that's what I was going to ask. When we say representatives, they themselves, the Pink Sisters, do not come out and share the word about who they are and try to recruit people. And I think up until recently, they might not have had a representative like yourselves. So what exactly do you do for the Pink Sisters?
Well, we created a poster that had about Angela's journey, and we ended up using it to share with everybody. And so what we do is wherever there's any diocesan events where there's going to be the laity present, we just try to take material about who they are, what they do, and then we try to pass out literature to them and invite them to visit the chapel, invite them to get to know the Pink Sisters. Many people do not know what they have to offer for the diocese. And so as soon as we connect them, then they're able to take that invitation further and, you know, into their lives or with their families to help spread the word about the Pink Sisters.
Well, that's wonderful. Vocations, they're so important. And we're called, our vocations are planted within us at a very young age. My daughter, who's 8, asked me if she needed to get married. And I said, no. And I said, well, why are you asking? And she said, well, because I don't want to get married. I want to be a sister. Oh. I said, okay, well, why do you want to be a sister? Well, because I want to love God.
Wow.
And so even as early as 6, 7, yeah, or 8 years old, that seed is planted. Now tell me more then about the Pink Sisters, perhaps a little history of them.
Well, the Pink Sisters, when Sister Angela actually, you know, entered, you know, we began, you know, this relationship of, well, okay, like, what is, who founded it and what's the story behind it? And it was so cool finding out that the founder was actually a teacher. And so it was like, oh my gosh. So it's St. Arnold. And St. Arnold is actually from Germany. And he just didn't found the Pink Sisters. In fact, there are three houses, three orders, and basically, he had this love for missionary life, and he knew he had to reach the non-Christian, you know, countries of the world. And so he basically started out with one house, which is, you know, religious brothers and priests, and then he founded, and this is an active religious order, and then he founded an active missionary for sisters and religious, and then he spent 12 years praying for the third order, which is the one my sister is a part of, and they're cloistered. And, you know, their job is for constant prayer. And St. Arnold knew that his missionaries could not be successful without, like, the constant prayer of, you know, of religious before the Blessed Sacrament. And his love for the Holy Trinity and the Holy Spirit really inspired him and gave him just that passion to, okay, Lord, I want to know your will, because this is what I want to do, but I want your will to be done. So he spent 12 years praying about whether or not God was calling him to start this next order. And so this next order was cloistered and you know, pink, you know, he gave them the rose colored, you know, habit.
Why pink?
Oh, pink. Oh my goodness. And it's such a girly color too. So it was kind of like, oh, Angela, you know, pink, you know, and she really loves
pink. She's all dressed in pink.
Yes, yes, yes. Actually, she's dressed in white right now because this is her first year.
Okay.
And so I believe once you make your final vows, then you're colored in pink.
Okay.
And pink is there to actually signify the love that these nuns have for the Holy Spirit. And that Sister Mary Catherine said it best. And she said, you know, the color of joy, you know, is pink, you know, and to be in front of Jesus, you know, heaven on earth, there is no other color but pink. And so we were like, oh, yeah.
Makes sense.
Exactly.
Yes.
So she's actually in white, but she has her veil and a full habit. You know, pink actually signifies, you know, the love that they have for Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And what's so cool, too, is, you know, whenever they leave the convent to a doctor's visit or, you know, a dentist appointment or whatever that may be, they're actually in gray. And I saw a picture of the Mother General meeting the Pope, and she was completely in gray. And it's because, you know, they leave that presence of Jesus.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that is such a great, you know, outward symbol, mm-hmm. you know, to see them in pink and to know that they're filled with joy, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was really, really, you know, there's more to the color than just pink, you know.
It's, sure, yeah.
It signifies something so much more divine.
So then we have St. Arnold, who developed or founded the Cloistered Sisters with the hope that they would pray for the entire world, yes. never leave the Blessed Sacrament, and be in community with one another. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends are designed to give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and openly about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, family, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter Weekend is set for August 17th and 18th at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life 882-6191 or visit diocesecc.org/family life.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Andrea and Cristina Iracheta, who are representatives for the Holy Spirit Adoration Sisters, also known as the Pink Sisters. We spoke briefly about the history of the Pink Sisters. We spoke about your sister, Angela, who is all in white right now praying for us. But let's go ahead and talk about what it means to be cloistered. Some of us are not too familiar with that word. What does that word, cloistered, mean?
Cloistered means that they take that extra sacrifice along with, you know, purity and chastity and poverty to also give their lives, to give up everything that they have to live in the convent, offering everything to Jesus. And for most people, they don't understand that. And it's something new because not a lot of orders do that. But it's special because they're able to really give something more and be able to concentrate more on prayer and have that schedule of offering constantly throughout the day God's love and God's prayer for the world. And many times what we come across is people who can't understand that. How do you live cloistered? How do you not leave the convent? And what we've come to know through all the sisters here in Corpus and here in St. Louis, there in St. Louis, Missouri, is they find so much freedom in the cloister life. They gave up everything, but yet you also gained so much in return. And you have this joy and you have this happiness that wasn't there before, or it was there, but it wasn't there in the fullest. So I do know that there was one young girl who was, you know, crying because she was trying to understand, oh, how do I say yes to this type of life? Because it is hard if you're really close to your family, if you're really close to your community. And one of the sisters told her, you know, from that side of the gate, you just see everything that you're giving up. But you don't see that on our side, we see everything that we have gained. So it's kind of something that you need to pray about. And if it's your calling, the cloister life and your vocation, that God will give you the grace to supplement everything and give you the grace to accept that lifestyle to where it's a blessing and it's freedom and you get so much more in return.
So in other words, there are some religious orders that live in the community.
Yes.
So they're able to go to the mall or go mm-hmm. to restaurants or go to their family's houses, go to the movies. I mean, just live, have a social life outside of their religious order. They might even have jobs. Mm-hmm. But then in a cloistered life, you do not leave the community. You're indoors the entire time at the convent. And in this case, you're praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah. And I guess the way I describe it to her students who were first graders and second graders and even, you know, some of my non-Catholic mm-hmm. friends and coworkers.
Wondering where their teacher
exactly,
went.
They were like, oh, what do you mean by cloistered? And to basically give them a visual, I said she's literally going to be behind bars. You know, mm-hmm. there will be bars when we talk to her. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be wooden bars. It could be metal bars. But that, again, is another visual to say, you know, I belong completely, you know, to Jesus and this community. And they are separated from the world, so to say. But in reality, it's a mystery because they're more in tune of, you know, our suffering and our plights and our needs so much more. You know, and people were saying, how could you let your sister go? You're never going to, you know, really get to hug her again. And you're not going to get to, you know, visit her. I mean, the way we do, you know, we sit down and we talk across from each other. Mm-hmm. But there's a bar that separates us every time we go and we see her or we, you know, we go and we visit the nuns here in Corpus Christi, but at the same time, they understand us so much more, and they're more in tune with us. And Angela said it best. She said, it's a mystery because, you know, I become so much closer to you, regardless of these bars, because that prayer life is so much more in tune with our needs and, you know, just praying, you know, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So it's truly a mystery, you know, how we're closer, but yet physically we're separated by bars, by grills.
So I did want to ask, speaking of the differences in when you go to visit your sister Angela, how you're physically separated, tell me a little bit about your journey with her when she first decided that she wanted to be a religious sister, how you felt, how your parents felt, and I'm very curious to know about that.
Well, my parents actually sacrificed just like so many parents sacrifice to send their kids to Catholic schools. And so we actually grew up in the Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And so, you know, we had sisters and nuns that were our teachers, that were our friends. But my mom has this, she remembers because it's a drive from Taft to Corpus every single day. And we weren't the only families making it. But back then, she remembers all of us had just come back, you know, from Holy Family, and we were on our way home, and she stopped at the chapel of the Blessed Sacrament where the Pink Sisters were, and she was just praying, and she was like, you know, dear God, Jesus, please help me, you know, just like any parent understands, you know, it takes sacrifice sending your children to school and just the normal basics, but to make that extra sacrifice and send them to Catholic schools is more of a burden, but at the same time, it's kind of like a mystery. You know, it's the investment is 100 times fold. So she remembers praying. She said, please, God, they're yours. They're yours. So
you go.
Take care of them.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was a struggle, as all parents know. And so she remembers praying in the Blessed Sacrament chapel, and that she really feels like that's when, you know, that seed for, you know, of course, all of us were planted, but it took a special, you know, effect in Angela. And so Angela has spent her whole high school, college, everything in this prayerful discernment outwardly and okay, Christina, you know, I'll be, you know, I'm the sister who, not a nun, but a sister, that, you know, loves movies and like, hey, Angela, do you want to go see a movie? And, you know, she's like, no, you know, I'm going to stay in. I have this new book and, you know, I would read it later. But, you know, her first priority was this. And so, you know, everybody
growing in the faith.
Exactly. And so it wasn't till I want to say the last 3 years that it has. I need to find out exactly where God is calling me, because she started feeling a little tug. And that tug was basically saying, you know, go and visit, go and try out. And she had a wonderful spiritual director with Father Francisco Lopez, you know, our parish priest. And, you know, he gave her different orders to go and discern about and to go and check them out. And, you know, just like anybody who's discerning, she looked at several orders, but she really, really fell in love with, you know, the Pink Sisters, with their daily routines of, you know, of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament and their liturgy of the hours and just their, in a way, I kind of told her, you know, they're kind of like teachers, you know, they have a schedule and, you know, they had to, you know, they follow it. And, you know, of course, you know, obedience was huge. And we take those little things for granted, but she said it best. She basically said, it's a prayer. Everything you do is a prayer. You know, you might want to, you know, before, you know, and my brother, he also went to go visit her. He said, you know, like, I'll leave, you know, he's brand new married, you know. And so, you know, he'll be like, you know, I'll leave my shoes there. And she basically told me, you know, well, you need to go put them up, because that's a prayer, not just to just leave them there, but to go and pick them up.
Wow.
And go put them where they belong, because that in itself is like obedience and just
that motion.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so just to have her in there, and oh my goodness, it's just beautiful.
So did you all feel that you were going to lose a sister, so to speak, or did you feel so proud of her that she was fulfilling her vocation?
I think a little bit of both, but I felt like when we, at the beginning, you feel like you're losing a sister, but then you realize you gained so many sisters back. So we actually got more sisters. We love all the sisters, the Pink Sisters. You've gotten to know some of them on a personal basis, but it was a struggle because you know, just the change, you know, just the change, just the distance. But we always understood the greater good, and we always understood that it was a sacrifice, and that with prayer, you know, prayer will take care of everything. And as a family, we always pray the family rosary. And my sister Angela would say, you know, those prayers are what's helping me right now. I could feel them, you know. And so to continue that prayer, and we used to go to adoration, you know, we would do novenas, and we would just be really active. And I feel that helped her decide, and it's helping us to also say yes to, as a whole family, and to grow. And our faith has gotten so much deeper because it means something more having her as a Pink Sister now.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that they have both Andrea and Christina as representatives for the Pink Sisters. Continue your good work, and please stay with us. Deacon Nolte with Sacred Moments is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Children have a natural gift for fantasy, and the same gift for belief. There are, of course, many differences between the two. Fantasy involves pretending that something is really something other than what it is. For example, a stick becomes a sword in the hands of a boy. For a girl, it might be a magic wand, while a doll becomes a real baby when the same girl plays house. Pretending is the magic of childhood, and it's what happens when children fantasize, when they let their imagination run free. On the other hand, belief is the opposite of fantasy, because it engages what is real and forms a relationship with it, based on what it is rather than what it might be. A child who grows up with loving parents, who provide food to eat and a warm bed to sleep in, believes with simple confidence that there will be a comforting voice in times of distress. The child knows and believes that someone will be there to take care of them, to protect them. This belief allows them to form relationships with what is real, with their parents and family, with teachers and friends. In the same way, they believe the promises of the Bible stories they hear. God will stand by them. He will protect them and guide them. The church and the rest of the world, along with the saints, are seen as good. Jesus, talking to his disciples, tells us, "Whoever does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." He wants to remind us that we have to distinguish between what is real and what is not. Unfortunately, as we grow older, the world becomes complex and painful. The lines between belief and fantasy blur. We experience trials and hardships. Our early beliefs are challenged, and it seems easier and less painful to escape into the fantasies of the world. Video games replace playing with friends face to face. Movies offer heroes who don't die. Actors and actresses take the places of saints. And pretty soon, there is little left to believe in. The same happens in our relationship with God. The storms from which we were protected as children become storms that rage within us as our need for something sustainable to believe in increases. Where once we knew light, now there is only darkness. When we try to recover something of what we did believe in and begin to read Scripture, we often make the mistake of finding that one verse or another that seems to fit our need. We take it out of context, and making it a motto of sorts, try to make it fit as an answer to all of our questions and doubts. Here we are, trying to move from the fantasy of the world into a new fantasy of our own construction. We try to make God fit into our imagined fantasy world, and it doesn't work. We become more confused and lose hope. Jesus also told his disciples, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." He gave us all the answers that we need, if only we listen to everything he tells us. If we want to live in confidence and joy like a child, then we have to embrace everything Jesus offered. May you come to know the truth, and may it set you free in the Word of God, which is the truth. And may you see through the eyes of a child, trusting your Heavenly Father in the sacred moments of your life. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guests, Andrea and Christina Hiracheta, representatives for the Holy Spirit Adoration Sisters, or Pink Sisters. If you would like more information, please visit them at mountgraceconvent.org or visit them at their chapel, which is open daily, 5:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. at 4105 Ocean Drive. Thanks for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.